1. That's a quote actually from Psalm 53 that was written by David. But you know, when I read Micah chapter 6, while I'm feeling that harsh, condemning hand of the law, I also sense compassion. I sense the love and the mercy of God in this same passage. The love and mercy of the gospel. My understanding of this as being both law and gospel in this passage comes with a short explanation about Hebrew poetry. Now, when we think of poetry, we usually think of words that rhyme. Well, like our hymn of praise, that second verse ends with, "Our hearts your work begin, of your image lost by sin, grace on grace, new life within." Lines that rhyme, poetry. But in Hebrew poetry, well, it's more like the refrain in that hymn of the day that we just sang. Rejoice and be glad. Blessed are you, holy are you. Hebrew poetry, instead of rhyming, repeats the same thought twice with different words. Rejoice and be glad, saying the same thing twice, right? Blessed are you, holy are you, essentially the same thing, just with different words. And these different words add little bitty nuances or insights or emphases upon what is being said. Thus, in Micah chapter 6, the idea is this: what is good is what is required of us. Saying the same thing a second time. And that is summarized then in three different ways: doing justice, loving kindness, walking humbly with our God. But you see, in reality, these three thoughts are all the same thing. And the essence of this one thing is really the first thing: loving God above all things and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Does it sound like I'm talking in circles? Well, maybe. But for me, it helps straighten things out. As I see how the gospel is at heart in these words from Micah chapter 6. Think about this. Doing justice. We need to think about justice from God's perspective. How does God execute justice upon us rebellious and wayward sinners? He puts the punishment on Jesus. In so doing, he forgives us, removes our iniquity as far as east is from west, and accomplishes a great exchange. Jesus takes the punishment, and we get his righteousness and holiness. And then, in this act, God calls for us to not only live in that justice, but also to live it out in our daily lives. Now, living in that justice, being freely forgiven, I like that. But living it out, that's not always quite so easy or enjoyable. Yet living in that justice and living out that justice in our lives is all put together. And it really is the same thing as loving kindness. And once again, I find that I just love living in the kindness of God. But I'm not always so eager to be kind to all those people around me in this world. Especially because it seems like there's so many rude people, so many obnoxious, selfish people out there. Oh, what a rebellious and wayward sinner I am just for thinking that way. But God's justice is unwavering. His kindness has no bounds. And we all, me, you, we, stand forgiven, justified, sanctified by His grace. And in that, He enlightens us to realize what a better world it would be if everyone would do justice and love kindness, especially doing it in God's style. Which means, you know, we are all simply called, well, to do something simple like walking humbly with our God. Recently, someone asked me, what does it mean to humble yourself before God? Well, I think a pretty good answer is found in Isaiah 55. There we read, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Humbling ourselves before God is acknowledging these words to be true. That's really what walking humbly with our God is all about. It's recognizing that His justice is the ideal justice. And not just being on the receiving end of it as well, but on the giving end. And that walking humbly means loving kindness, both as God loves being kind to us and we receive that gracious kindness, and also us lovingly being kind to all, even the most rebellious and wayward people that we encounter out there and in here as well. Now, the problem is, none of this can we do on our own, nor are we often even willing to do it. Which is why God keeps coming to us in His Word and Sacrament and the gatherings together of His people. He's doing that to draw us and all closer to Him. He's doing it to soften our hard hearts. He's doing it so that we will fully receive that great forgiveness that He gives to us. And in so doing, He is molding us into people who are poor in spirit, people who are meek and merciful. He makes us into peacemakers who are pure in the spirit, people who hunger and thirst for righteousness, molding us into people who say, "My week's not right if I'm not meeting with other people for worship and talking about God's word." What is worship? What are those small groups we call FHL where we gather around God's word? They are simply opportunities to walk humbly with our God. Times when God in His own special way blesses us, raises us up, doing more than just showing us what is good, but actually making us to be good like He is good. O Holy Spirit, You who began this good work in us on the day of our baptism, continue it now within us until the day of Christ's return. In His name, amen. And may the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep all of our hearts and minds walking humbly with our God today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.